Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 268 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We are here in studio and we're going to be together also a little bit later on this week at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Friday.
It is Friday. Yeah. But yeah, we got some catching up to do because we had a big mom game party.
We did.
We celebrated our 5-year anniversary with our producer, Jasmine, her significant other, Joey, who I thought was on a reality show, but apparently that's not the case.
That was a funny conversation.
You know where I got that.
You were on a reality show, right?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Of course, Adam, the official dad of the mom game, mm-hmm. and his lovely wife, Mandy, and Audrey Dollins, our sweet, sweet marketing guru. And her, what is her husband's name? You don't know either.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, then tell me.
Jason or something.
Jason or something. How awful is that? We had dinner with him.
Well, we didn't, you know, when you, someone is like with you and no one introduces or said in like that.
And I feel like I've met him. I met him like at the Durrett event and then I met him. And then I it felt awkward.
Right.
Like I gave him a giant hug.
You've got to do the reintroduce thing. And like no one did it, I guess. Or maybe he did and I blanked. I'm so bad at remembering people's names.
Same. Well, Audrey and her plus one, who's her husband. He's super, super sweet. And then you and Kelly and me and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super fun. We had hibachi at my house, which was fun, and enjoyed some Coppola wine always.
It was lovely. Fun.
It was lovely.
Got nice weather. The beautiful doors opening up to the outside with the hibachi guy.
Yeah.
Entertaining and shooting sake in our faces and hair.
Yeah. Yeah. He was super
good
fun.
Good time.
But yeah, we talked about going to the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, but there is another tournament coming to town and our friends at Coppola are a huge part of it.
Yes, that would be the Charles Schwab Challenge coming up at the Colonial Country Club later at the end of May. They are the official wine of that golf tournament and we usually make a point to go out there. It's right in your backyard, Emily. Yep. And that delicious Coppola wine will be flowing all weekend long out there. And I'm so excited because coming up soon, we're actually going to have the head winemaker from Coppola here on the show.
Next week.
Yeah, Andrea Card.
While
I'm gone. So you can talk to her about this new wine that they are releasing, but it's going to be a new lower calorie and lower alcohol Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Grigio and the new Coppola Shimmer White Blend. So many different ways that you can enjoy your Coppola wine. But yeah, make sure to check them out at the Colonial Country Club in May. And of course, they always continue to support the Do It for Durrett Foundation. Francis Ford Coppola Winery, Geyserville, Sonoma County, California. Please drink responsibly.
Okay, so what else is going on? I feel like it's not, it's almost May, but I feel like it's already the craziness of May. I feel like it's starting early.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like May is always just a bananas month, period.
It is.
And I feel like it's just, it started like 2 weeks ago.
Right, because it's not even May.
It's like, not even May.
But it feels like.
But it's going to be May.
It's going to be May. You are back at the ballpark, so that makes it a little bit like crazier probably for
it
you.
It is.
Tell us about that. It was so fun turning the TV on. I was like, I told the whole family because we were all sitting around. I was like, I have to find Emily. I want to see her. Like it was your first day of school or something.
Yeah, I know. So my family treated it as such. Yeah. Mike was like, are you nervous? I was like, no, I'm not nervous. He was like, it's your first day of school. Okay. It was great. I mean, it is weird. I mean, I've worked how many ever opening days in a row. So to not go for my first time, you know, to work a game being like on game 29 or whatever, was like different. I did go out to the ballpark last week just to kind of show my face and meet some of the new guys that I hadn't met yet and all that kind of stuff. But it was great. It was, you know, like as cliche as it sounds, just like riding a bike. I mean, it was fun. And, you know, I love the people I work with. And from, you know, Dave and Murph was on the call, you know, last night. So from, you know, my broadcast team to the production crew and all the people that work at the ballpark, like it's just they're so sweet and so kind. And, you know, they're just familiar faces. And so, you know, there was a lot of questions, which kind of became overwhelming to me.
Like just from because, fans or?
Yeah, just people like, where have you been? When are you coming back? Are you, you know, all, you know, is this forever? You know, how, you know, all the kind of things, which, you know, absolutely so flattering that anyone would even care. But also too, just kind of overwhelming and a little bit exhausting just answering those questions. And, you know, like, was this your choice? Was this, you know, are, you know, all the things. And I'm like, you know, and there are some, because like, yeah, we've talked about it. It was my choice, but it wasn't my choice. You know, it was like, we would like for you to come back and do 20 games. And so I didn't have control over that number. And so 20 was a little like, oh, wow, we're really taking a step back here. But it's like I've said before, you know, it's time probably for this, you know, kind of more of a drastic, for lack of a better word, transition to happen. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But so far, so good. I love being out there. I love the dudes. I love, you know, the people. It's a fun job. But, you know, I will say, like, I'm getting ready for game two. And I'm like, I didn't get home till, you know, later, and then take the makeup off. And I have to make up all the time and get dressed cute. And so anyway, but it's good. It was good. It was good to be back out there. And so we'll see.
And a new really like broadcast sweet. Too. So probably kind of learning.
Yeah.
You weren't doing the Bochy interview.
Nope. I don't do Bochy anymore.
It was a man.
It's Matt, radio. That was Matt Higgs.
Okay.
So now the radio guys do that. I still do the same drill. So I'll still ask questions of Bochy, just not in an interview. I hate to call it this, but it's in
The gangbang.
It's the gangbang. Yeah. That's what we call it. And I know it's not appropriate, but that's what it's just called. And it's basically just Boach and everybody around, and we just ask him questions. But yes.
I mean, it's been that way back since when I was an intern, and I feel like the world's changed so much to where it's like,
I know. Like back then, it's just like,
I was an intern. They'd be like, so this is the gangbang.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, whoa. So I'm like, aggressive. So mom, I learned about the gangbang today at work. Like, but now it's like, I know. Like, I'm kind of surprised.
I know that it's still. Yeah. Well, we're probably the only two still saying it. Maybe. But anyway. So a few, you know, modifications here and there. But it's same job, same thing, just different, you know, like kind of a different setup. So, but it's good to be back out there.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Thanks.
I saw a lot of all is right in the world and people commenting like
people
that.
Were
that it
very
just like felt.
Sweet.
Normal, like
people
that's what people
are very,
are
very
to.
Sweet, very, very kind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so good.
Thank you to all those who sent messages of sweetness. I really appreciate it. And to all of you wishing I would have never come back. Sorry about your luck.
Sorry about you.
Sorry about you.
I have to deal with 20.
You got me for 20. So anyway, but it was good.
Well, good.
Yeah.
The mom game party was super fun.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think and. In our world, a couple little updates. One is that today, Tuesday, I'm going to kind of detail this journey along the way, but we're going to do Go Get Writer's Brain Map at Braintopia. So this is going to be somebody that I'm going to tell, you know, all of our listeners and followers about along the way, but and I'm going to learn a lot about it too today because it does seem like something that's like so over my head, but it's called biofeedback and it's something where they're going to take a map of his brain because if you've been listening, he was diagnosed with ADHD, anxiety, depression, and then level 1 autism all in February. So that's been a long, difficult journey for us. Mostly, like, I don't care about any of the labels or diagnose. I just want him to be relaxed and happy. Like, that's what I want. So, and his, it comes out in the form of being really anxious and mean and to us, you know, when he's having, like, when he's really overwhelmed and he's in his head a lot. So that's what I want to alleviate for him. I want him to be relaxed. I want him to be able to focus. I want him to be able to not worry about every little thing in life because he's nine. I want him to enjoy life and be happy. So we tried medication for a little while. We had a scary little effect kind of thing happen, a dystopic reaction to the medication that he was on. So I'm just trying to now examine all other options. And he hasn't been on that medication for a month or more. So this is called biofeedback, and it's something where they take a map of his brain, which they're going to do tonight. And then there's going to be 30 sessions where for him, from what I understand, he goes in, he sits there, he watches TV, and he wears this like little thing on his head, and they just kind of analyze the brain waves, and you can slowly kind of tweak so you can see. And we're going to try to probably have this lady on to explain this properly, but there's something that they can see in the initial brain map where, like, the what's kind of, you can see somebody that has ADHD, anxiety, where they're, it's more dense on one side or something like that. And they kind of spread it back out to be even. That's a really dumbed down, probably not accurate version. But that's kind of what this is. And it's a process, and it's, you know, it's not a slam dunk for everybody, but most people see benefits and see success from doing this. So I figure, why not?
Absolutely.
It's all natural. And he's pretty excited about it. They're wanting to spread the word about this for people with concussions, people who play sports, you know, even professional athletes. Like, so it's not just like, hey, kid, you've got something wrong with you, so we're going to go do this. It's like anybody that has trouble sleeping, that has anxiety, that has insomnia, whatever it is, they can help. So we have that tonight. So I'm super excited about it. Yeah. And I'm going to kind of detail throughout the process. So we have that going on. And then we're going to go this weekend. Totally insane. We're going to Hawaii. It's like,
right, when do you leave?
Smack dab in the middle of all of this craziness. We leave on Saturday.
So fun.
Yeah. So we're going to Kauai, which is our favorite place in the world. And we're just lucky enough to be invited for a third time by a couple that has a timeshare situation where they have a place to stay. And so it's four couples going. And so we didn't have to pay for lodging. And we got flights so long ago. They were really cheap. Really cheap to go to Hawaii.
Really?
Yes. Like 300 round trip.
Shut up.
Yes. So like this trip so far, I've booked for $300. Like, you know.
Wait, $300 per,
yes.
Together?
Yeah. Well, each person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like to go
That's
to.
So crazy.
It's crazy. Because the first time we went, I want to say it was more like 800 or something. Like
800. That's cheap too.
Right. I know.
You can't get any flights under. If I have not been able to find. Well, and I'm not looking for any flights lately, but I feel like the last time I looked for flights, it was like 500.
Yeah.
500 per.
Right.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy right now. I don't have any flights booked right now.
I think,
And I think too, maybe that was like spring break-ish time.
Yeah.
They jack them up then. So maybe you're going at the right time to take advantage of it.
And just booking way in advance.
Yeah.
Because you can track it and you can watch and you can set a little thing like, you know, just on Google of like, track this flight, let me know when it drops. So, we did one way. So we did one way there and then I booked one way back when I got another good price. So anyway, we're going and it's just going to be cool. Bless my parents' hearts for helping.
Seriously.
Staying with the kids in the middle of all these activities. They're going to be like, y'all are crazy for doing all these things.
Yeah, but you know what? You should tell your mom, like, you know what? If he misses a soccer game, it's okay. If she misses a whatever, it's okay.
Right. There's the things that are like important. There's a few, like there's a dance rehearsal for the recital that she's going to be at. And then they have I don't want to make a big thing. They have a combine for the third grade boys tackle football because only 20 of them can make the team. And I would rather him not do it, like just not do it because this is silly and it's tackle. But he really wants to.
Yeah. Okay.
I know. And, you know, part of me is like anger management. If he can go do this, I don't know.
I'm whatever about the football, but
I know
the fact that there's a combine for third graders.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I know.
What are I can't.
Because they're tasked with only having one team. So they're like trying to figure out how to do it.
So they're going
to
have
other people are welcome to start another team. And I hope that that's what happens so everybody can play. but like for the one team that has the, this is so dumb, I don't even need it, the one team that gets the cheerleaders. This is just the way it's always been. I am not supporting this. I'm not supporting this. This is the way it's always been at our school.
You have a oh my.
I can only do so much. I can't change everything. It's dumb. It's this, very dumb.
Okay.
If this, right, like, I hope that a second team is formed and we can split off the freaking cheerleaders to go to both
what
games.
League is this for third grade tackle so, football?
No, it's so silly.
That has a combine and cheerleaders.
Oh, God.
You have reached a new level of insanity.
I know. Well, it's not me. This is what we're just falling into. This is our school. It's our school.
Well, your school is
and
crazy.
Our school is like mimicking like Highland Park, basically. So that's where I think it starts. And then our school, like, this is how it's been for years. And so, and the team has a name, like they're the Raiders, and then the Raiders cheerleaders. It's, I know. I can't, I just fully grasped all of this recently. And I'm like, what?
First of all, third grade tackle football, in my opinion, is too much, but I'm not an expert.
I agree.
But then the combine, and then that's the team that gets the cheerleaders.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing? You might need to have a reevaluation of this whole process.
Well, maybe he won't make it. Then I'll just have to deal with him being more depressed. I don't know.
For the record, I've done plenty of wheels off shit as a sports parent. Let me put that out there.
Yeah.
But this might be...
It's so silly.
This is something.
And the guy, the coach, I love, love, love. He's wonderful. So I'm like, you know, and he's been his coach this whole time. He's been playing football. So I don't know. It's just weird. It's like the system needs to change. Like, but no one's in charge of the system but parents. That's why it got this way.
Right.
Like it's not even a league. It's like it's through SBAA. So it's through a league. But they could have more teams, but it's always been one team. And so everyone
just
always
go start
wants
another
to be on
team.
This team. Right.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Well, and then
I think that will happen.
But then that's going to perpetuate. Then kids are going to get. Yeah.
But then there's I don't know.
Which that happens.
But then Kelly's over here like, well, when I was in third grade, I had to make the house team and league in hockey in Canada. Like, this isn't weird.
Right.
Like, because he was always, I mean, it's Canada hockey is what he's used to.
Sure.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
And his parents weren't crazy. Like, his mom wasn't crazy, but he had to make a team in third grade. I don't know. If he doesn't make it, he'll be just fine, I think, I hope. But I don't know. So anyway.
Okay, well, good luck.
I'll be in Kauai.
Good luck at the combine, Ryder.
Good luck, grandma and grandpa. I'll be in Hawaii when the combine's happening.
Okay, yeah, we need combine talk is going to definitely need to be a follow-up on the show.
I know. It's like one of those where you just feel like, I don't know. I'm not... I don't have the time, energy, or nor am I prepared to change this whole system.
Well, I mean, in Little League, you do tryouts, but everybody makes a team. You're just trying to evenly distribute the talent, right? And so it's called tryouts, but everybody makes a team, you know?
Yes.
But that's not the case here.
This is weird because it's sanctioned by parents. It's like, it's a league, but the one team that's the third grade and then fourth grade and then fifth grade from White Rock is one team. There's one team.
And they're going through a combine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they going to have all the combine stuff? Like, can I get a printout of Ryder's report? Like, what's his vertical?
Yeah.
Is he benching? Like, he was doing...
I don't know.
Broad jump, time him in the 40.
I was hoping he wouldn't want to do it, but he like really wants to do it. So, and he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't show that like I really want to about much.
Right.
So I'm like, okay,
listen, everybody's got to get.
Let's go. I hope you do it. I hope you have fun. That's all I want. And then
everybody's got to get used to rejection at some point in their life. Let's just start in third grade at the combine.
He gets that every time he asks for a play date. So. Like, he's struggling with friend stuff. Like, that's his rejection. Yes. So the sports helps him with that, right?
Right.
Like, being a part of a group. That's
right.
What he wants, I
for
think.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think that's why he wants to do it. But also football. He loves. He loves football.
Yeah.
And part of me, because we're talking about this managing the aggression, anger, I'm like, manage it that way. Like,
right.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. That's the moral of the story.
He's going to the combine.
He's
that's
going to the
know.
Combine.
Okay.
Bless. Good luck. Well, another one of my catch-ups is introducing another partner to the show here very quickly. This is a friend of mine who has just started a new business, House of Skin and Health. And I popped in there the other day to learn about her business and meet see her. I hadn't caught up with her in a while. And they do all kinds of different things. They specialize in wellness, hormone therapy, and aesthetics. You can sit, you can talk, you can say. It's really perfect for people our age who are struggling with being tired, maybe mood stuff, really anything related to hormones. They can take a baseline, kind of tell you where you're at and how they can help. They also do Botox, dermal fillers for natural looking rejuvenation, medical grade skincare products. But when I told her a little bit about my health history, she's like, do you real quick want to take a test and see if you have the gene for Alzheimer's? And I was like, sure.
When do you find out?
I don't know, probably about a week from now.
Okay.
Yeah. So she kind of hears about your history and can basically help whatever it is that you need. She's amazing. She's a mom. Like us. Follow them at House of Skin and Health Dallas and at NP Debs. Morgan Debs is her name. HOSH Dallas.com. And I'm excited for you to go visit too, Em, and see what they're all about.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to head over there in a couple of weeks after we're done shooting one day.
Yes.
All right, let's get into a little bit of sports scores, quick hits on the Stars and Rangers brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. Custom lens replacement from Tylock George Eye Care is one of many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George. Lens replacement is what I got. LASIK is what Julie got. They offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. If you've got questions about what you can take advantage of from Tylock to make your vision better, whether it's LASIK or the lens replacement or anything else, just reach out to them. Mention the Mom Game. You can schedule a free consultation at Tylock.com/TMG. That will get you a special discount. Tylock.com/TMG. Schedule your free consultation today. Don't forget to mention the Mom Game. Okay, we mentioned that I was at the Rangers.
Yes.
Or I'm working this series against the A's, and we just can't do anything offensively. Pitching has been phenomenal. It's like offense is just, they're on the struggle bus. They can't get anything going. It's not working. So Boach is trying everything, moving guys around in the lineup, doing different things. They just can't get, they're not getting many walks. They're not striking out a ton. They're just not creating opportunities. And when they do create opportunities, they are not getting timely hitting and taking advantage of those opportunities. So bottom line is with the Rangers, it's still very early in the season, but we are a month in now. So you start kind of getting a general idea of where your team is at. And right now, offensively, it's not good. Good news is pitching has been outstanding. That's going to keep you, pitching and defense are going to keep you in, you know, every game if they're good. And so they've just got to find a way to start scoring some runs. Corey is still out. He hopefully will be back this weekend. And yeah, they just basically haven't been clicking. And so it's kind of a giant conundrum right now. And it's no one really knows what the heck's going on. But, you know, we'll see where they are in a couple weeks, because you can lose ground really fast if the teams in your division are playing well, which nobody's really lighting the world on fire right now in the AL West. But something to keep an eye on. But the good news is the pitching and defense have been pretty good. Other than that one play in San Francisco, we're not going to talk about that, which ended on a walk-off Little League home run.
Oh,
it was brutal. Okay, Stars. I know we can quick hit that too, because we shoot on Tuesday. They're playing game six on Thursday. So I was able to keep up with the game, kind of just kind of watching on my phone during the game. And then on my way home, I swear it was like the Stars were up by two or three, and then they were only up by one, and then they were up by three again.
Yeah.
It was like, it happened so, like on my walk to the car, I was like, what? And
they
what
scored
just happened?
A bunch all close together there
in
later
the second
in
period.
The game.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning 6-2 to beat Colorado, and that was back on home ice in front of a big, giant, raucous crowd at the American Airlines Center. Another late start, basically 9 o'clock start. But a huge win for them. So now they have a 3-2 lead as they head back to Colorado for game six, which is where they lost game four pretty badly.
Yeah.
So it's tough to play in Colorado. But the big one, I think seeing Mikko Rantanen score in that game as a Dallas Star, get his first playoff goal as a Star, was huge. Coach DeBoer,
he used to play for the Avalanche.
He used to play for the Avalanche. He's a big superstar guy, and you bring him here for these moments, for these series, and he hadn't scored yet. And Pete DeBoer kind of said, like, just hang tight. These guys are going to start scoring, and he did. And so I hopefully, we'll see. Maybe they pull it off in Colorado. If not, it'll be a really fun Game 7 situation that the Stars will be in. So so far they're hanging so tough, and it's a really good battle with Colorado.
I'm just glad that, like, you know, they ended the season on such an awful note that, like, that wasn't it.
Right.
That they just didn't have this fantastic season, and then the last 2 weeks they just kind of stunk it up, and then, you know, just kind of went quietly into the night. That they've hit that
another
reset
gear
button
for the playoffs.
For sure, for sure. Okay, let's get it. We've got a special guest coming, the official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game. My pastor, Lance Marshall, is with us to talk all things. Not a whole lot of religion, so don't freak out, but there is some, you know, some fun stuff in there that we can talk to him about.
We needed his help.
Yeah, we did need his help after that whole, if you watched last week, we got confused on Adam and Eve and Mary and Joseph and the 1920s and dinosaurs. So let's talk feed stuff, because I want to hit on two things really quickly. What's on our feed, brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media and our friends at Globe Life Field.
Yes, Globe Life Field, they're always doing so many fun activities for the family. One of those is to host a birthday party. Why not? You can have your next birthday party and hit it out of the park by hosting it at Globe Life Field. They have a number of birthday party package offerings to make your child or your teen's next birthday a home run. How cool is it to be out there partying with your friends at the same place where the Texas Rangers play? Birthday packages include a ballpark tour, wiffle ball home run derby, a membership to the Junior Rangers Club, and more. Just head over to globelifefield.com/birthdays to book your experience today.
And also, what's on your feed, brought to us by our dear friends over at Audrey Dolan's Media. Basically, if you need any marketing, social media, branding, influencer, collaboration, any of that stuff, help with your business, your personal, Audrey Dolan's Media is the way to go. They have taken our marketing game to the next level, just redid our entire website. It looks amazing.
Yes.
They really can come up with a comprehensive plan for you, fit it to your business, your needs, personally, professionally. They do a fantastic job. So check out AudreyDolansMedia.com. Tell her the Mom Game sent you. We're not afraid of that, for sure. Okay, so NFL draft this weekend, this past weekend, Shedeur Sanders was the huge story out of it. And I'm curious to get your thoughts. I mean, we all know what happened. I don't think we need to you know, dissect that. Basically, he thought he was a top five pick. A lot of people thought he was a top five pick, at least a first round pick. Ends up sliding to the fifth round, which is a full 2 days of waiting. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the draft, they do round one on Thursday night, then rounds two and three on Friday, and then four through seven on Saturday. And so you're talking about a guy who thinks he's going in like the first hour or two of the draft.
Built
and then
a draft room.
He built a draft room, all the stuff, and then didn't get drafted till day three in the fifth round.
144th.
So 144th. And so just, it was this whole thing, and everybody's just, you know, couldn't believe the slide and all that kind of stuff. And apparently he was kind of brash and arrogant in interviews. And that's kind of the MO of his dad, is he's very outspoken. And I love Deion. I think he's great. He's a brilliant marketer. But also, too, he's got cred because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He was one of the best to ever play his position. So he's got, like, he's got skins on the wall. And so when you're just the son of someone who's got skins on the wall, you really can't, right, in my opinion, you can't get away with that stuff. However, I don't mind him being confident and all that kind of stuff. But it's almost like when you're going into a new league, like what they did at Colorado was effing phenomenal. I mean, they turned that program around in real quick order. But when you're going into a new league and a new situation where you're totally unproven, just me, I would just probably tone it down just a little bit. Whatever, he did him, and this is where it got him. To me, though, I used to, you know, I was in the camp of like, I don't know how good he is or whatever. But now, after seeing kind of what he went through, and hopefully I hope he gets humbled. And then I hope he goes out. I hope he kills it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he does great. He had the, you know, the prank call of the defensive coordinator's kid on one of these NFL teams. There, his kid got the number for him, prank called him, and pretended like he was the owner of the Saints, and he
some
was getting
old
drafted.
Miss frat guy sitting there prank calling Sanders.
So fratty, and so it was
the
a
Falcons coach,
total D move. But also, too, there's probably a lot of people who were like, yeah, well, he's pretty, he needed to be taken down a notch. Not sure that was the way to do it for
he's
sure.
He's still like a kid.
But I think now my perspective on him, I kind of want to see him succeed,
mm-hmm,
just because I feel like so many people want to see him fail. And so I'm kind of taking, I guess, the contrarian approach to this, that like, I kind of want to see him succeed. Now, do I want to see him succeed and tell everybody to suck it and whatever? No, but I do want to see him succeed, I think. The way everything unfolded, I think, kind of changed my view on him as far as what I hope for him.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it'll stay that way, because he could come out and do something ridiculous and I'd be like, you know what? I'm out again.
He truly kind of deserved, or like he had that coming and now it's come and now we want, now it's flipped a
but
little
bit.
But
that's what now we like to like, do though. We right. like to build people
we like
up.
To pile on.
We like to build people up. Then we want to tear them down, then pile on top of them. And then we want them to get up and get back to where it's Tiger Woods is the perfect example of this whole build them up, knock them down, all the kind of stuff.
You can already see like the ESPN packages on Sunday Night Football, like before he goes to take the field with Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be like him sitting there in a dark room talking about the draft and
but if,
how people were all,
yeah.
and then the phone call, and now he's got a chip on his
all
shoulder and how it helped him motivate, and then he's going to go out there and who knows, he might shit the bed.
Right.
But that's going to be the new story.
If he even makes it on the field.
Right.
They drafted another quarterback before him. It's insane. So that will keep my interest for sure as far as a storyline.
That's all really anyone was talking about.
For sure.
In this draft.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing everybody's talking
about. Gosh. Just what? The money sign necklace.
I know. It's too much. But here's the deal. Like.
Too much.
It is. But it's like I try to tell myself and other people. No one listens to me, but what I try to tell myself, like, just because it's not the way you would do it doesn't mean that's the way everyone should do it. You don't have all the answers, Emily. You don't have all the answers, Julie. You're not the police of the right way to do stuff.
No, neither not am at I. all, but I know tacky ass money sign necklace right? when I see one.
Right. So you know, everyone has different tastes.
Yes.
I myself am a fan of giant money necklaces, so
okay.
Yeah,
remember that for your next birthday.
Me and Shador. So anyway,
you did wear a t-shirt that said talk to my
I did. You're right.
Agent.
One of the most embarrassing experiences in my life. And I can't believe I even admitted to that willingly and just volunteered that information.
I love it.
Okay. The other thing people are talking about is the Bill Belichick thing.
Yeah.
And he's what, 70 something? And his girlfriend is 24 something.
Or something.
Okay. Here's the deal. I don't care. Bill Belichick can date whoever he wants. You know, whatever. People can have their theories on why she's with him and why he's
with
her. But
we can't say that's an insane age gap.
It's an insane age gap. But he did this CBS interview, and apparently she was present for the entire interview. She's very present wherever he is, apparently.
On the field, everything.
So this is my thing. Did you see the clip of the interview where it's like the interviewer is asking Bill Belichick, how did you meet? And they're doing this interview because he released a book, okay? Mm-hmm. So she pipes in.
The Art of Winning.
And okay, The Art of Winning is what the book's called. So they're doing this interview about this book. They try to bring up the relationship with this girl, Jordan. What's her last name?
I don't know.
Okay, Jordan something. She's 24, whatever. So they ask.
Hudson, sorry.
Jordan Hudson. So how did you meet? And she immediately busts in. What is my hair doing? She immediately busts in and says, we're not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she raised a big stink in this interview, like about different things. My question to you is, if I'm sitting in a chair being interviewed and my significant other is off in the background yapping out orders and bossing things around, don't you think people are treating this totally differently? That if a man is taking this, has this controlling thing, that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we always talk about the double standards for men and women. I feel like in this case, if the roles were reversed and it was 73-year-old me and my 24-year-old, you know, hottie, and he's bossing around, people are going to be like, oh, he's taking advantage of her and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, because it's this hot chick, we're just like, oh, can you imagine what he's doing to her in the bedroom and blah, blah, blah. I just feel like that this is a case of a reverse double standard. I don't know.
Yeah.
A reverse triple, double, quadruple standard.
But it made me feel sad for him. It made me feel like she was sort of taking advantage of him in a way. Like she's got some sort of hold over him. Like,
right.
You know,
and
like
I
where
feel
he's
like
just like
be,
a pawn in her little.
I feel like there should be more outrage over that.
Yeah.
The fact that what is this chick doing?
Right. But I guess then you're like, well, he's he's probably happy banging her or whatever.
Right.
You know,
I don't know. I just
but
felt
it was
like
weird. And it was also like, I mean, do we know how they met? It was like it had to have been a stripper type situation.
No, she was a cheerleader from what I don't know anything. But from what I heard, she was a cheerleader and they met on a team flight.
Okay, so maybe there was something there on the team flight, like something that would make her be like, we don't want to talk about that, right? Like,
I don't know. I felt like that was kind of out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. She seems like a real pill, honestly. Right. Like, she seems, ugh.
You know, you got to be a little bit off to date 7-year-old Bill Belichick when you're 24.
This is so true. And anyway. Did you see the awkward pictures that they took?
Yeah.
Like, where he's a fisherman and she's a mermaid?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
What are we doing, guys?
They're weird.
It's all very weird. But I'm just saying, I feel like I you know, we often bring up, you know, shit that's a double standard. If it, you know, if a woman did this and blah, blah, blah. I feel like if a man were to act that way in a setting, a similar setting, that it would be, people would be outraged.
Yep.
By that behavior.
Yeah, I agree. But so. Everyone was talking and my instant reaction was more like, don't you know the cameras are on you, girl? Like, you can't just say that.
She doesn't give a fuck.
Right. She doesn't care. And obviously there's going to be a lot of fallout because of that. Like,
yeah.
CBS interview. And you're like, no, we can't talk about that. Like, that became the story. Where no one's talking about your book.
No.
No one's going to try to read The Art of Winning now. Because everyone's like, why did she freak out about that? Oh, geez, what's going on here? So if you're smart and you're trying to do his and PR or whatever, don't be the bad PR.
And Bill Belichick is like, I mean, it's not like he's Mr. Personality and Mr. Accommodating.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of hold over him does she have to where he's literally doing whatever the fuck she wants him to do?
Right. Like, well,
blink twice if you need help, Bill. We're here for you.
I guess they're just doing it, and then that's the hold.
You can't assume they're doing it, Julie.
Don't you think? You
need to stop judging and putting that out there. I mean, you don't know.
Most couples
doing it.
I don't know. Anyway, should we talk to a pastor now?
You know what? This is perfect
Save
segue.
Save us, Lance.
Perfect segue. Perfect segue, isn't it?
Yes, it is a perfect segue to talk to our friend Lance Marshall. This is brought to us by our friends at the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Make sure to join the fun on Friday, May 2nd at the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson with the Mom Game, us and the Dumb Zone. We're going to go live from the 17th hole from 1 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is thanks to our sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. Bring your crew and experience world-class golf as the pros take on TPC Craig Ranch. That is May 1st through 4th for the entirety of the tournament. If you can't make it out Friday, the tournament is going to be so fun this year. There's going to be incredible food, cold drinks, and unbeatable atmosphere. Soak up the sun, make some memories. Catch every swing with us at one of the most exciting stops on the PGA Tour. Tickets are on sale right now. Make sure you head out there, guys. It's going to be so fun. The CJ Cup, ByronNelson.org. Kids under 15 get in free with a ticketed adult. Tito's Handmade Vodka is an official sponsor of the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Stop by the Tito's Clubhouse at the 17th hole. Raise a Tito's transfusion to your day on the green. Distilled and bottled by 5th Generation Incorporated, Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
We are, please, shut up, Lance. We are,
that's your pastor.
It is my pastor. It is. Oh, thank you for that. This is, well, I could already feel you looking at me and making fun.
I'm just watching you cook.
You are. Oh, here we go. He's with the kids. All right. We are pleased to welcome to the show. This is his third appearance on the Mom Game.
Yeah.
I feel like you might be our most popular guest as far as appearances.
That any list that has me and Dirk and Troy Aikman in it is a very suspect list. I'm honored to be a part
most
of the conversation.
Most popular guest as far as appearance.
Most popular non-Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Lance, he is the official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game.
Where have you been? We've needed you.
We've needed you.
Been living in the church. Yes. Know, it's up in the towers.
Same.
But Lance was on. It's been like 4 years since you've been on with us.
That's crazy.
And then after the whole Adam and Eve, Mary and Joseph discussion last week, I texted Lance and I was like, so you probably shouldn't listen to this week's edition of the Mom Game.
Can I tell you my first, when I got that text message, I thought it was because it was too like R-rated.
Oh.
And you were like warning me off because it was like baby ears. You don't want to listen to the Mom Game. I was like, oh no.
No.
Is there another like Halloween costume story in here?
Oh, no.
Is there something I need to? And then I saw the topic and I was like, oh, wait a second. This might be. And then I listened to the episode.
Yeah.
And I think it was right around are there dinosaurs in the Bible, and was Adam and Eve in the 1920s, that all the books started shaking off my shelves, and some of the foundations underneath the church got a little shaky. Okay. So,
for the record, the 1920s thing was a joke. The rest of it was absolute ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Was I right about the dinosaurs not being in the Bible?
Let's just say, can we jump right into
that?
Can we drive right into the gifts portion of the service?
Event today? Of the service. Yeah. I love that you call this a service.
I have a gift.
This is the mom game service.
I have a gift for each one of you.
We should open it?
You should open it right now.
It's probably a Bible.
So cute. Did you wrap
it? It is not a Bible because I feel like that's a little advanced.
Advanced for us.
Yeah. And so it's a book that I first read when I was on my journey. It's by an author named Kennessy Davis, and it's called Don't Know Much About the Bible. And it is a it's a joke title, and it sounds silly, but for your audience, one of the things that comes up in conversation with people when I'll ask them questions like, why not go to a Bible study or do things like this? A lot of the people will say something like, I don't even know enough to go. Right? I feel self-conscious.
Guilty.
I don't even like
know. Yeah,
which is, of course, no pastor at any church anywhere wants people to feel that way. This book happens to be an interesting, funny, creative introduction into like, well, here's what's going on in the Bible. Here's the ways that it came together. Here's what the different books are about. Here's how you can like understand what's going on inside of it. And so it is to any of your audience out there, I brought it here because I love to give a gift and it's applicable to last week's conversation.
Definitely.
But to your audience anywhere, if you are ever felt like, I'd love to know more, where do I start? There's a lot of great books. This is one that I recommend the most.
Okay, I love it. Thank
you,
Lance.
Yeah.
The I in Bible is Jesus himself.
Yeah.
Is that Jesus? No.
Let's say it is. Yeah,
it definitely is.
Who is that?
That's Mary.
I can't. My glasses aren't good enough. Let's just say
it's got like a lamb around its
neck. Yeah, that's going to be Jesus.
Dang it.
Jesus.
She was right.
Yeah, that's going to be Jesus.
Yeah, that's going to be Jesus.
Jesus.
Well,
so there
is
you
great.
Go.
This
yeah,
is
there
what
you
we
go.
Need. Thank you very much. It's very thoughtful.
It's a silly title. Part of the reason I give that book is when at the right time for
Mary.
Me in my life, it was a huge gift.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So that was kind of a. It just is like a gateway to get you on the show, basically, us having a ridiculous conversation about Mary and Joseph and Adam and Eve.
The 1920s.
The 1920s.
They were driving in a Model T to Bethlehem, wondering why Babe Ruth got traded to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Listening to sports talk.
But I want to delve back into a little bit of your story.
Sure.
You're a two-time, you guys are cancer besties.
We're cancer besties.
Knuckles.
What's up?
Two-time cancer survivor.
That's right.
And just kind of how that led you on your journey to be where you are. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. We went looking for a church home when I was pregnant with Henry, and we tried a bunch of different churches, and then we found The Gathering, and then that we just felt like that was a fit, not necessarily what church it was. We weren't necessarily too set on like a denomination, but mm-hmm. we wanted a pastor that was relatable.
You're free agents.
And that we were definitely free agents. And so when we found you and we found The Gathering, which now has moved into big church because now he's the big head honcho at First United Methodist Church of Fort Worth. The reason we felt like you resonated with us is because of your personality and the way that you relate your faith and your religious journey to everyday life and to our lives. And so just compliment to you on that.
Well, thank you very much.
But I think your story is fascinating because of how you did end up where you are, and kind of just that you weren't raised in a super religious home or anything like that.
We do get like 1 million new listeners a day.
1 million.
And so even though you have been on here a couple of times, we'd love to reset your story a little bit for the new peeps.
Yeah. So one of the things that I do a lot in church is try to share my own story because I'm a normal person. And part of my story is being raised in a really great household with really great parents who are kind and loving and good. We were always on the membership rolls at a church. But whether or not we were there on a Sunday may or may not have happened less as soon as sports got involved mm-hmm. and the weekends got really busy. And honestly, I was kind of an awkward teenager. So youth group was just one more place for me to feel self-conscious and uncertain about myself. And so by the time I was in late high school and college, I had drifted away from the church, particularly because I was getting such a great exposure to the world in literature classes and history classes and science classes, but I only had like a third grader's vacation Bible school understanding of faith and religion. So I kind of left that behind, and that was fine. And then I was raised in a really the kind of household and the kind of community and neighborhood where anything's possible. And so you go get a great college degree and then go start a great career. And shockingly, I found that not super rewarding on its own terms pretty quickly. Part of that story has to do with a lifelong battle with anxiety and depression that started manifesting itself really heavily to the point where I needed to get some professional help. And I'm really glad that I did. And then in my early 20s, going to a counselor and learning how to meditate, and meditate turning into learning how to pray, turned into reading books on Buddhism in the Algonquin Public Library in suburban Illinois, where I was living at the time, and then a book by a Buddhist priest named Thich Nhat Hanh called Living Buddha, Living Christ, pointed me towards not just Christianity as a religion, as a code of practices, as a building on a Sunday, but Jesus as a incredibly countercultural and inspirational and fascinating teacher and leader and proclaimer of this incredibly good life that is good life in at the time, the early 2000s. But today was a really good life, and it was just so fascinating. And so I went to go pick up the third grade Bible that I had, you know, in dusty on a shelf somewhere, and tried to read it and made it like two chapters into Genesis and thought, this is boring and I don't get it. So I went to the Barnes and Noble. Remember those? Those were great.
Yeah.
Remember we used to buy books? And saw that book on the shelf 20 something years ago and read it, and it got to the chapter on Ecclesiastes, which is a piece of wisdom literature in the middle of the Bible that happens to be about what makes a good life, and it's written from the perspective of a high achiever, wealthy person, and it was so powerful in the way that it spoke this countercultural language of what really matters is friendship and connection and labor that's worth doing when you wake up, that I just kind of got hooked, and I started to go down this journey, and not because I was, you know, evangelized really hard by a super charismatic preacher. I was just looking for peace and truth and meaning in a confusing world. And then, one of the things that happened was at some point I kind of came to the conclusion of like, I actually kind of believe this. I think I really believe it. And then part of my story at 25, and I shared some of this that first visit 5 years ago, if anyone cares enough to go back and revisit the podcast. But the big transition was I believed in all this stuff, but I trusted in myself. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I believed in all this stuff, but at the end of the day, I'm the one who's going to achieve. I'm the one who's going to provide. I'm the one who's going to make it happen. I'm the grinder. I'm the performer, whatever. And thought I had allergies, and I had stage 4 cancer, and lost my insurance the next day, lost my job the next week. Or there was a bank error that took all our money out of our accounts. I got married with no money. This is all happening. And being out there on that thin limb, I went from someone who believed in God but trusted in myself, was all of a sudden in this place where it's really just me and God, and that's kind of it. And the shocking thing was that it was enough. And that was really surprising to me. It would have been hard to tell really self-assured, confident, early 20s guy, mid-20s guy, that at the end of the day, out on that thin branch, when everything else has fallen apart, it's you and it's God, and that's enough. A couple years later, I have a baby, then I get sick again. Chances of me surviving are even worse. I'm out there on an even thinner limb, and it's you and God, and it's enough. Our family grows by adoption a handful of years later. We talked about that in our last visit, so I'm not going to recap that.
Yeah, not just one, but three.
We adopt a sibling group of three young kids who've started their life in a horrible situation, are now in the foster care system. They join our family. It's so funny because when people find out that you adopted three kids that were in foster care and are now your kids, their gut reaction is something like saying, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine. And my answer is, yes, you can. It is exactly what you imagine. And your imagination is entirely sufficient. That's exactly what it's like. And we're out there on that thin branch, and it's just us and God, and it's enough. And since then, we've even experienced other traumas and tragedy. And it keeps being just us and God, and that keeps being enough. And so that's part of the story.
But I think the question is, so I'm not a super, we talked about this before, I'm not a super religious person, but I'm a very faithful person.
Yeah.
And I feel like what you said, like the kind of that set of characteristics that we see in Jesus, like that's what you're, like to be kind and to be, you know, inclusive and to all those things are so important to me and to our family. So how do you, I guess, as a man of the cloth, so to speak.
That's how we talk about ourselves. Yeah, absolutely.
We're having a gathering of the men of the cloth.
I'm in a cloth group chat. Yeah. That's great. We love it. We're getting ourselves through this Luca moment.
But yeah. But so like, but this is your job, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you, I guess, welcome all of us in who aren't necessarily, I mean, you we drink confused. Wine and, you know, talk.
About dinosaurs and Mary and Joseph.
Well, and drop F-bombs and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I also, I want to encourage everybody to play the mom game at home and just chart Emily's use of profanity on episodes when I am here versus the ones where I'm not. It's a fascinating.
You have some power.
Yeah,
it's people
really,
can get her to do that.
It's pretty hilarious.
Anyone else that calls her out for cussing, she says F off. She's on her best
and
behavior.
I
know you don't.
I don't.
I'm just saying, like, that's how much she's like, I don't care. I don't care. But then when you're here, she's like, I
did tell you to shut up right off the top.
You did.
Yeah,
let's be honest about that.
I forgave you again.
You did.
We love her and all her glory.
Oh. Yeah. So it's a really interesting question. It's rooted in the context of like who Jesus is as a person. He doesn't come and say like, I need you to drive downtown for an hour every Sunday morning. Like that's not his like big ask on your life. It's not about Sunday school class participation. It's about this life oriented around a set of values that says that the least and the last and the lost have value and need to be included and brought along. It's a story that says there is way more going on than what you see here. And what it seems to be a world that's dominated by share prices and by power and by people protecting their fiefdom and their little island. And it is not that. And when you see, when you ever wonder if is God real, is God present, is God at work, the answer is yes, and in ways that would shock and confound you because there's such good news. And so, like, that's the story. And so when you say, I'm not very religious, can I show off that I went to school? So yeah. The root of religious, religio means to bind. And so the practice of the religion is to bind us together in a helpful way. It creates the structure that allows us to be together, to have these relationships, to shape and to form each other. And it's a blessing to some, and it is restricting to some. And so you have your own journey with the religion, the practice, the form. But even more important is your journey with – there's this, the Greek word pistis. Is what the word is in the New Testament, and it gets translated as faith a lot. And that's a very appropriate translation. Another appropriate translation is into English for pistis is hope, and another one is trust. And so when you're leading your families, the question is, what do you have faith in? What do you trust in? What do you put your hope in? What do you have trust in? What do you have faith in? What do you put your hope in? And is it in power, prestige, you know, insulation from the problems of the world, or is in this something better? And so that's the, when you say like, how do you deal with us?
Yeah.
You know, my answer is with great enthusiasm and joy. Yeah. Those are my people.
Yeah.
Right? Especially from someone who isn't a cradle in the institution.
Right.
Right. I came as an adult because I found it to be a place that was radiating good light and love. And so I want to be a part of that good light and love. But my great goal at the end of the night is not to get people to transfer their membership.
Right.
Right. That's not what I like gave my life over to and left an entire other pursuit.
Yeah.
So that I could, you know. But if I do get two more people to transfer their membership, I get a toaster oven. So
okay.
If y'all could help.
Is there a
with
coupon
that,
code?
Yeah.
Or
just sign the back of my Bible.
Something where they can attribute it back to the mom game.
Yeah.
We'll get our own toaster oven too.
It's fmcfw.org/mom game. And they'll get 25% off.
We all get a toaster if you join.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're laughing and all that, but like, gosh, I just love hearing you talk, and I love what you said, how you were able to answer that question, and it kind of brought up something that I wanted to talk about, which is just like how hard the world is right now. And I'm sure when we had you on 4 years ago, I probably said the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then even a year before that, I probably said the same thing. But right now it feels really tough for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I think what faith can do, and I'm not good enough at leaning into this, but, and people might have their exterior reasons why they don't lean into it enough, why they don't buy in or let themselves become fully immersed themselves with faith, religion, Christianity, whatever it is, they all have their reasons why they don't. But what I think faith can do is kind of be that anchor that a lot of people need right now. An anchor that kind of is like maybe their center. Emily and I have conversations here on this show about just feeling unsettled. And whether it's your career or your family or your marriage, that sense of being unsettled for us is really hard. And then when we talk about the trickle-down effect to our children. Mm-hmm. And I have a son who was recently diagnosed with ADHD, anxiety.
Hey, I've got
depression,
an all-star one of those.
Yeah. So like, you know, in hearing you kind of speak about your story, it just made me think of him. But just these feelings in a little child when they don't have like an anchor or like a really strong center. Mm-hmm. And now it gives me a little bit of anxiety even just saying that, because I'm like, I don't get him to church enough. Like, mm-hmm. Do I have that center for him? But I think that's what faith can be for a lot of people that maybe aren't letting it into their lives. Or maybe they are and they found that center. Is that a good way to maybe kind of explain?
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. You bring up ADHD, and that's fascinating because my family is growing a garden of different ADHD varietals. Uh-huh. We've got the space cadet kind, and we've got the drill sergeant kind, uh-huh. and then we have the Tasmanian devil kind. Uh-huh. So they're all, it's fascinating. Our kids also have traumatic experiences in life, so we mm-hmm. have trauma-informed practices of care, and combine those with just what kids need in general, one of these overall perspectives is going to be stability mm-hmm. and reliability. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times we've heard like kids thrive on, a good example of that is a schedule, yeah. you know, routine, et cetera. But also one of the things that is really clear when you have a kid who's experienced trauma versus one who's had the more kind of life we're hoping every kid would have is just like, at the end of the day, I can count on mom. Mm-hmm. Right? Mom is there, like, not perfect, not flawless. You had a guest on 4 years ago before my last visit that was talking about mind, body, soul time with the kids mm-hmm. every night bedtime.
Yeah. Right.
So like, God bless that. If your home is tight enough where you can like have
10 minutes alone with your child.
Integrative. Yeah. Whatever, you know, you're better than me at that. But there's something about that reliability and that consistency that is really meaningful. And you can see the power that it has in them, particularly when it comes to an uncertain world around them. So now take that same perspective of their needs and apply it to your needs in this world. And one of the things that the way that I explain the concept of worship to people is it's not just Sunday morning. It's not the songs that we stand and sing together or the liturgy, the words we sing together. Or the sermon, even though we can all agree it's the best sermon that's ever been given.
And obviously. We just,
you know, the heavens come crashing into earth. It's amazing. Every week, how do they do it? And so that's not what worship is. Worship is the act of saying, at the end of the day, this is what my life is built on. When everything else, when all the chips fall, you know, this is the thing that I think is actually going to be there. And the trick is, without realizing it, everybody worships something. Mm-hmm. Everybody worships something. And for most people, the things that they worship are unexamined. And it is, what would you say some of those things are? For example,
money.
Money is one. At the end of the day, we've got the bank account.
Yep.
Right? What are some other things that people might worship?
Like a celebrity or an athlete.
Okay. At the end of the day, like this is the thing, like we've always got Luca.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day.
Until you don't.
Yeah. No matter what. Right?
Yeah.
Or another thing could be a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a great and beautiful thing. The trickiest one is the kids. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day.
I've always got my kids.
Right? So career, money, marriage. All these things are beautiful and wonderful and good. I would question whether or not they are sufficient of foundation.
Right.
To build at the end of the day, that will be there. Because we're all terminal. Right? We've all got a terminal illness. And, you know, I've been in the place where the family is great and the marriage is great and the kids are great. And yet I'm out on the limb past all those things. And so the what you're saying about like the what we need right now, in my very biased opinion, there's just one thing that's actually there when you feel like the media system that you're consuming and pouring over your brain is making you feel less sure, and things that you used to rely on aren't there anymore, and a career trajectory that you had settled yourself into isn't what it used to be, and the school system that last week was fine now isn't, and all that stuff seems to be fading away. This faith isn't like superstition. Mm-hmm. It's not a detachment from the world. It's a deep engagement. And the only thing that human experience has said is actually sufficient, you know, from just an evidence standpoint. No one else has ever been able to say like, yeah, but at the end of the day, this was there. And this is the one thing that can be there when you're going through any sort of trial and difficulty. So back to your question of like, I think this is what people are looking for. It's interesting studies about Gen Z and Gen Z reversing some of the generational changes and engaging in religion in a way that some of the older generations didn't. And the current hypothesis is that this age cohort has been so upset by the hollowing out of relationships by social media and the smartphone, by the over-institutionalization of their childhood through organized sports and school that has taken away their time of just cul-de-sac play and poking frogs with sticks, and the pandemic that interrupted some of their normal coming of age rituals and looking for the thing that we need. And that's not only the faith itself, but the religio, which is the community and the bind and the structure behind it. And so, you know, the church that I'm a pastor at, you know, it is a historic cathedral. It's a downtown, big towers, looks like Notre Dame, 8,000 pipe organ, wood pews. Nothing about it communicates hip. You know, it's not like trendy, but it communicates rock solid.
Yeah.
Like this has been here long before we got here and will be here long after we're gone. And it can help you raise a family because you're like, this ain't go. And that's one of the cool things about our particular congregation, which is true in lots of them. But like I will baptize a baby in front of our altar, and the mom and the dad got married in front of that altar, and then they got baptized in front of that altar, and their parents got married in front of that altar, and it's the same altar. It's not like an altar. It's the same piece of wood that's been there, and that's like so – you start talking about like the religion aspect. That's what starts to make them feel like there's some there, and it takes all the language and it makes it solid. So I told myself I was going to give shorter answers to the question.
Well, my question was really long.
Yeah.
I went back and listened to those episodes. I was like, talk less.
You're good. No, we like to hear you
laconic.
Talk.
Stop.
Okay. So you bring that up as far as like the Gen Z study or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is it's a weird time for quote unquote religion, and that like, you know, people are weird to talk about it, or, you know, that there's, whereas it used to be a, you know, whatever, then, but now there's judgment being passed on you if you, you know, choose to, because people are like, well, how do you know that your religion is right? And that's whatever. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm like,
and that's where we start Bible thumping
and
angrily.
And then I'm like, let me show you my book. But it's like,
I'm going to text Lance.
There can't be, I mean, I'm a member of the First United Methodist Church of Fort Worth, but do I believe that like everything that this particular church and this particular denomination, we're the ones that got it figured out? Like, no, I mean, right? You don't think that,
no,
do you?
It's horrifying to imagine, like, I can't imagine passing through the grave and being at the pearly gates and St. Peter being like, you know what? So many people all over the place were wrong about so many things, but this one guy in central Tarrant County just had it pegged. Yeah, it's really humbling. And that's something that there's religious debates in the water today. And one of the things that I feel extremely comfortable with is I don't know that I have the right answer. I'm very faithfully seeking and discerning and wrestling with and challenging. But I have a spirit of humility and of understanding that there's no way that I'm right about everything.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
But when you have that, and I wish I was, and if I knew what it was, I would then go change to be that thing.
Right.
I'm trying my best.
Well, I mean, because you have, I mean, like you talked about, you know, Buddhism and, you know, Catholicism and Judaism, like there's all, I mean, but to me, it's like they're all faithful. But then critics will be like, well, I mean, you know, just critics, you know, and now they're so loud because of social media, but that are just like almost, you know, I have this one friend that I had to stop following because like everything he would post was just like a tragedy would happen and he'd be like, oh, where's your God now? Where's your thoughts and prayers now? Where's your, you know? if this God's so awesome, when what the fuck's he doing here? You know, and it's like, oh, well, yeah. So, okay, sorry.
Doing good, just though, one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the title of the next sermon.
Thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck's he doing?
Two. Okay.
So how do you reconcile that? You know, because it's like the challenges or whatever, and then, you know, I don't know, it's not, there's not one clear answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, right? And that's a really great example too of like, what are we talking about when we're having this talk? And I'm going to imagine that the person that you said, this is really hard to be a part of this conversation with them.
Right.
Sounds like they're experiencing pain and frustration and disappointment. And that's probably not just a question of theodicy. Theodicy is the question of God's justice and how is a good God present in a world that experiences pain and suffering. So there's long answers to that, but that is by no means a new question in the Christian faith. We've been wrestling with that for a very long time. So he doesn't only have some legitimate questions of theodicy. It sounds like what he's also frustrated with is people who hide behind religious language to avoid thoughtfully engaging with real problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What he's probably frustrated with is people who thoughts and prayers their way through using that as a magic wand to being like, well, but you know what? There are hungry kids.
Right.
And there are struggling people after this incident. And there is like an epidemic of violence. Like these are things that we can actually do something about. In fact, it would be a very faithful thing to do something about. It would be very much in line with this faith that we pursue. So nobody else coming with us, you know? And that's probably something that person's coming from. And that's ironically a place, the place that has the most good news to share with them is the language of faithfulness and trust and hope that they might have a hard time receiving. And so back to the question of how do we do this in this plural way? You know, it's really tricky because let's just say, I'm trying to think of a safe non.
There are none.
Yeah.
There are none.
There are none. So
there
like,
are no safe non whatever you were going to say.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a safe non-confident. But you say, I'm a fan of X, and a person who doesn't like X will maybe assume that what you say that is that you're also supportive of all the other things that come with X, and you're like, well, no, that wasn't, I don't like that part either, actually. And one of the things that people struggle with when they hear conversations about religion is they think, oh, well, that means you don't, that you like this, and you like this, and you like this, and you hate this people and this neighborhood of town and in this portion of the board, like they will wrap all of it together and you're like, oh no, I didn't bundle those things up.
Sure.
So in my opinion, in my experience, we actually have a lot more common ground than we realize if we could hear each other.
Yeah. Right. It's probably a bit of a defense mechanism too, right? If it's too big for someone to comprehend or understand or embrace, it's like, oh yeah, I could never, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right? You know, which is kind of sad in a way, but I don't know.
Well, and I don't want to make this too about this one topic, but I moved out of social media.
Mm-hmm.
If social media is a neighborhood, I just moved away from it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a fun place to live anymore. And it's also like not a real place.
Right.
Like it's not the real world. It's
a good way to put it.
Yeah. And it's, I cannot tell you
why
as a person.
Why would we live in this neighborhood?
Why are we here? And as a person who's moved away, it's like, I would never go back to that place because out here is so much better. And so much of the things that you're talking about as being so vitriolic.
Yeah.
I don't experience them in the grocery store and I don't experience them on the Little League field. And I don't experience them in all these other places.
Wait, where are you playing Little League that you're not experiencing things?
I'm sorry, non-competitive leagues. let me clarify.
I'm kidding.
I'm the kind where we're all just having a good time.
Right, yeah, that sounds fun.
Uh-huh.
We do need to circle back to what got us here.
Wait.
But I have another question too. And
okay.
Do you?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Well, because you just started a sermon series on science and the Bible.
Yeah, thank God for science.
I think is a very, and you talked about how right at my son and your son's age,
mm-hmm.
that this is kind of when they'll start to question if they've been raised in a faithful home, in a Christian home or whatever, which Henry both my children have been, but where they'll start to question things.
Yeah.
And how
you told them the story of Moses riding the dinosaurs and all of that. And now they're wondering. Yeah.
Mary and Joseph and their Model T, all those things. So what is that? How important is that, you know, to you as the leader of our congregation to be like, listen, these are questions that it's good to be challenged, right?
That's right. So just to help give a really short summary, one of the other reasons I moved out of social media is I don't have very many thoughts that I can express in 20 seconds or less. And so
we've learned that
the world's more nuanced than that. Yeah. So the important things to do is a couple, two important concepts is the purpose of science is a system of observation that helps us answer the question, how does this stuff work? What are the forces? What's it doing? Those are wonderful questions and they've wonderfully transformed human existence. The purpose of faith, our scriptures, our spiritual inheritance, our life as faithful people is to answer the questions, why? Why are we here? What's this all for? What's the purpose? And so the story that's in Genesis 1, if you're the kind of person who hears that and you go, that's exactly right, 7 24-hour days, 6,000 years ago, et cetera, wonderful. I'm not here to kick any stools out from underneath you. But if you're the kind of person that's a geologist in a oil and gas company, or you're the kind of person who's gone to the Perot Museum and has seen dinosaur fossils and wants to know how this stuff works together, it's better to understand that story as a poem and a meaningful story given to us that answers the question, why are we here? For what purpose? What kind of God are you? Why are you doing this creation project? For what purpose and to what end? And humanity, left to its own devices, creates creation stories that are violent and vindictive and full of family drama and power struggles, just like humans are. And the beauty of the Genesis 1 story is a story of order and purpose and love for the ultimate ends of connection and community, completely different than anything humanity would come up with on its own. And so the problem is when we have a seventh grader and we're asked to read the story of Genesis 1, which is true, but they're asked to read it as journalism, which it's not. And so what we need to give our seventh graders the ability is to understand this is a capital T true story, but its truth is not locked into that one very small way of reading. And so that's a tricky exercise for some people, but we need to trust our young people with the ability to grasp it. If we're going to be asking them to do geology and physics and biology and things like that, then we can trust them with those nuanced answers. So that's what I'm walking people through. Next week is about evolution and the reasons that people are challenged by that, usually not for purposes of the origin of the species, but rather out of concerns of how it hangs together and theological convictions of salvation. And we'll go from that and then and then we'll have donuts after.
And then what about the dinosaurs?
Yeah, we'll get to them. We'll get to them. Okay. Which, by the way, I can't. I told Julie I was listening to all, or Emily, I couldn't believe that Carl Everett never came up.
That's true.
In any of that. True. That was heartbreaking. Yeah. He was on the forefront of dinosaurs and the Bible and how that works together.
Missed an opportunity there, for sure.
That's a deep cut.
So my last question before we do a quick little timeline overview, because we do need you to teach us how that all worked before.
Okay, sure.
I still don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of do, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just, while we have somebody here that has, I feel like, such just awesome, wonderful perspective on life, for whatever reason that may be, everybody's seen, experienced different things. Yours, obviously, you've made a wonderful life of preaching the Bible and helping guide people on that path. But I just think you have an awesome perspective on life. So while you're here, I like trying to kind of do something that's a service to our listeners. I have to ask you, as a parent, as a dad,
okay,
what are like a few kind of foundational pillars of parenting or like things that you would say are important in raising kids?
Wow, that's a really great question.
And you could say like day to in a day, whether it's this, that, or this, or bigger picture, however you want to answer the question.
Well, that's a really great question. An interesting thing to do is to mine your own experience and to think about what, is there anything I've kind of come away with my own experience of being a child and then an adult that was meaningful? You know, one of the things that my parents never, ever intentionally did, but that I walked away from childhood having unintentionally learned, was the idea that like achievement is really good and we'll be really happy and we'll celebrate you when you achieve. The National Junior Honor Society, I was the little kid who won the geography bee, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And but what I didn't understand was that they completely loved me if I wasn't winning anything and I wasn't on the captain of the soccer team or something like that. And so one of the things that I say to my kids a lot is, I love you so much exactly as the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a journey that you need to make for me to love you more. And so we're good. Like, we're going to do this parenting thing. We're going to do this growing up thing, right? But there is no, like, in game that I need you to get to achievement or growth or maturity that will unlock parental approval for you. So that's one that I think about a lot. One that I think about a lot for parenting is trying to identify my own shark music. And that's a term that we used in, we learned it in our adoption education and training, that sometimes some behaviors will be happening and you'll start to feel this da-dun, da-dun, da, like your heart rate's going up. Because, so if I can, if I can highlight one of the shark music things my wife has, is our kids, if you take them for a walk in the neighborhood, they will holler at and, hey, how you doing, anybody they see. Anybody they see. How you doing? Where's your mom at? Where's she live? What's her name? Can I get in your car? One of our kids opens up the doors to neighbors' cars because he loves cars and he's in kindergarten. He's like, I'm gonna check out this car. It's pretty sweet. And of course, how do most people react? They're like, okay, you know, hey, little buddy.
Right.
You know, and then she's dying.
Yeah.
She's mortified. It's her shark music.
Uh-huh.
She can't handle it. And so one of the things that's helpful is to stop back and like, is this okay or not? And it's a really great example where, like, I'm going with the flow. She is disproportionately worried about that. And it's a chance for her to not yell, you know, freak out, go nuts. That's just a thing for her. She's learned about herself. I've learned that I really struggle with the immediate pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do blank?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say something other than, yes, Dad, I love you. Thank you for making such a wonderful home uh-huh. for me. Yeah.
Thank you for requesting that of
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah. I happily do that. And it's like usually a lot sharper respect than that. Like, one of the things that I can do a great service to them is recognize, because the reason it's shark music for me is it isn't that it feels, it's not that I'm being disrespected. I'm disrespected all the time. It's not that it makes me feel like I'm doing a bad job parenting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm upset. Because if I was doing a good job parenting, you would not speak to me then.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And so my wife can handle that. She can roll with the flow. I've got shark music. And recognizing and knowing that's my shark music can help me respond in a more right-sized way as opposed to an outsized way.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so much, too, of this parenting thing is the self-evaluation and the self-realization and mm-hmm. the self-reflection and all that, that so much of what is going on with your kids is a reflection of what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Which is all terrifying and also, you know, gratifying all at one time, knowing that you have the possibility and the ability to impact, you know, someone's life in the way that you do as a parent.
And the last one I would say, Julie, specifically to this audience, if I could wave a magic wand, the number one thing I would do is erase select and travel sports from the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And for a couple different reasons. Can I tell you the rudest thing I've ever said to anybody who's in my church? It was a dad who's a member of our church. It was a group full of dads, and they were all buddies, you know, so it was kind of it had a bro vibe to it.
Uh-huh.
And he was basically, all the other dads were giving this dad a hard time. They're not coming to church enough, right? And he was taking the ribbing, and he was telling me, you know, I want to make it more often, but I can't. We've got travel sports, right? We got soccer. It's every weekend. We can't do it. And I said, you know what? I totally get it. I was the kid who was always I played competitive travel soccer all over North Texas every week. I was playing in a league, et cetera, et cetera, never went to church. And I said, and you know what? When I was 25 years old and I was laying in a hospital bed dying of cancer, all of those years of travel soccer did nothing for me.
Yeah. You told him that?
Yeah.
you preached about this one time.
And he was like, oh, smokes. But the number one reason that I wish that there were no travel sports is because I wish at the end of every week, mom and dad had time together.
Mm-hmm.
I wish mom and dad spent absolutely zero of their time in the suburban driving to the field and doing whatever because they've worked a full week and they're busy. And the number one thing that they can do for their kids is to have a marriage that is attentive to each other and connected, and they know what each other are interested in life right now and what's interesting them intellectually and what they think about what's going on. And I want them to have that time together, and I want the kids to be riding their bikes and poking frogs with sticks and playing YMCA sports, because ain't none of them going to college on a scholarship. But most importantly is I wish mom and dad were together, because if you hang this thing together and you give them all the sports and all the extracurriculars and computer camp and all that stuff, and then in your marriage it falls apart, that's not the best, that's not the way it needs to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
priorities are a little wonky.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the number one thing. And it was hard. You know, we had a kid who didn't make the team that he wanted to make at school. And if we had had him pushing it as hard as we could in sports all the time, he probably would have made that team. But the truth is, everybody everywhere at some point gets to the point where they can't make the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson. It's hard.
And my marriage is great. And it's a really great shape.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that helps us do all this other stuff. And so.
Right.
I wish more people could consider that, because it's pretty countercultural to try it.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And that's the thing we talk about all the time.
Guilty over here.
Yeah.
Guilty over here,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So just pull them out and hang out with your husband and go swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go
you
swimming.
Know, yeah. Well,
my parents bought a piece of lake property and we had a boat and we never went because I was playing soccer.
Right.
And it's like, I would have loved to have been on the boat.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you like soccer. And I was like, I was an idiot.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything.
Right.
You take us down the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
We don't have to make it everything so extreme. You can go play basketball at the court down the street and then you're playing basketball.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fine. Because I'm going to be hanging out with my husband.
Right.
And all enjoying the back porch.
All the things. Yeah. I can't.
And the professional athletes we have on say the same thing.
Well.
I mean, they get to a certain level and they start playing harder. But they'll say they didn't have their kids on a competitive team until they were older, and they played in the backyard until they got a little older.
Right. Not anymore, though. Not in this day and age. That's not happening. There's nobody on a big league roster right now that didn't play travel ball. There's no.
Well, I guess saying until like 8 or 9 or 10, you know, that's what we've had guys say.
Yeah.
Because people, I think, will think they have to have like 5-year-olds like doing all this competitive, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. And then, my gosh, if he's not at the same level as all the other 8-year-olds, then he's not going to make this travel team. And then it all starts so young. So I think the idea was teach them the skills.
Yeah. Youth sports is an epidemic.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. Insane. If you want to raise future Hall of Famers, I'm not the guy to have on your podcast. Yeah. If you want to have a good life and a good marriage and a connection to your kids, I've got some things to say.
Definitely.
Well, I love that. I appreciate it. And there's so much truth to everything you've said today.
Okay. We need to go through the timeline though.
Yes. Real quick.
Mary, Joseph, Adam, Eve, and the dinosaurs.
I know.
And then throw in the Model T if you want.
You were way smarter than this
Babe
question.
Babe Ruth trade, if you want to put that in there too.
So let's work backwards. Okay. The books in the Bible that were written most close to us, mm-hmm. right? Like timeline.
The New Testament.
Wise, was New Testament, and specifically some of the Gospels and the letters were some of the last things that were written. They were written one human lifetime after Jesus' life and death and resurrection, as these first eyewitnesses are beginning to pass away. That's when those things are getting written down. So very, very conveniently, we have organized our clock around Jesus's birth at approximately 0. So he lives and dies at 33 and CE. And so it's in that like 60 to 90 to 100 AD is when the most recent books of the Bible are coming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So no book of the Bible is younger than 2,000 years old. That's the end of the New Testament. And then if you want to start working backwards from that, the quote-unquote youngest books of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, are coming to us approximately 500 years before that time. We can judge it around when the kingdom of Israel is getting destroyed by some of its bigger and stronger neighbors. Those stories are in there. Just to make things more complicated, there's some books that are sacred but are not in our Bible that are kind of in between that period, but that's for Mom Game 2.0.
Okay.
That's a more advanced period. We go back about 500 years before that, approximately. That is King David. This is when we see the story of King David and the height of the kingdom of Israel, and then Solomon, his son, and all of its glory. That's about 1,000 years before Jesus' birth. That's 3,000 years before us. And then when we start going beyond that, things get ickier on our ability to actually take our archaeological evidence and match them up to the timeline that's in the scripture. So things get more kind of open after that. When did the people settle the land of Israel? A couple hundred-ish years before that, we think. And then, okay, we work backwards from that. When were the people led out of slavery in Egypt? We get kind of unclear. And then going backwards from that, okay, when did Abram go from the Mesopotamia over to the promised? And now we're getting into kind of like 2,000 years before Jesus, maybe 3,000 years. We're not really sure. They're not firm chronological. So their oldest Bible text we have, we'll date back from here, about 5,000-6,000 years-ish or so. And then what gets really complicating is some of these stories that we have in the Bible, like the Tower of Babylon or Noah or Adam and Eve, aren't journalism. They're not stories that are tied to our historical timeline. Okay. They are stories of explanation that answer questions about humanity and who are you, God, and what are we here for. Okay. But they are not something that are – it's not to be read with a timeline on top of it. So you can be the kind of person who does that. And for there's going to be a handful of you guys that are going to send – please send the email to Mike Marshall at FUMC.
Oh, Mike Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah, don't send
– not Lance, but Mike.
Yeah, yeah. So there's this is the mainstream academic perspective on how these stories, and they're, again, I want to claim they are authoritative and they're true, how they match up against timelines. And then there's some more fringe folks who want to say, no, this is all, the Earth's only 6,000 years old. And
so we weren't totally far off, kind of being a little confused.
It's okay.
It's confusing.
It sounds like a lot of people are kind of.
These are tensions that did not exist in the world until old Nicky Copernicus and Galileo Galilei and things like that emerged in the last 500 years. We had to start marrying our scientific witness with our scriptural heritage, but it's something that we can navigate.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel smart.
Okay.
I don't, but I'm glad to know. I'm glad to try.
There's people around.
We're trying to learn.
There's someone to call.
For sure. Yeah. And now we have a book.
That's why we called you. And we have a book.
Bring a book?
Not at
Is
all.
Is that rude? Okay.
No.
All right.
We were like, called you needing help, and yeah, you came to help.
You did. You came to
We love having you on anytime, and I hope it's not 4 years before you come
well,
back.
Well, yeah. I just go back up to the towers and sleep up there.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty easy to find.
Man of the cloth.
Looking down, yeah. In the binoculars.
I'm in my man of the cloth. Yeah, it's hard to be at Little League with a full robe investments. But
as long as you've got the mom game on in the background.
That's right.
In the towers.
Well, Lance, thanks so much. Thanks for being with us. And I think, what was the total? Two? I only had two curse words?
That I could count, okay. But I forgive them both.
Thank you.
And so we're back at zero.
Appreciate
Look
that.
Look at that. That's the fine grace.
Forgiven.
Yes, this is amazing. Okay, well, I need to teach Mike that trick, that just, I forgive you no matter what you do. Like, just still, I forgive you. You're great. That's wonderful. You're awesome. Mm-hmm. Can you go over that with
us? Forgiveness is complicated. Let's next visit. We'll go over forgiveness. It's a little more multi-mail. It sounds like what you're looking for is a get out of jail free card, which is a little different.
Forgiveness is complicated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like this whole menopause or perimenopause, whatever this thing's going through.
What you got on perimenopause versus menopause?
So, thank you all very much. That's probably the next guest.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. As you know, we end every show. Look into your camera. Throw up the peace signs. Mom game out. This is so awesome with my pastor here to say mom game out.
It is.
And,
yeah.
I told you to shut up today.
That's how we started the
not episode. Very nice. I apologize. That was not nice for me to tell you to shut up. So sorry. You're forgiven. you don't need to be forgiven. It's just me.
Let's just close this thing out.
Okay. All right. On the count of three, mom game out. 1, 2, 3.
Mom game out.